count it a real privilege to be able to be here this morning. I was blessed, as the brother shared the children's lesson. And the scripture came to my mind, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable. And though the king would take the word and cut those pages out and throw them in the fire, he didn't destroy the word of God. The message was still just as real as it was before. And I praise God for that. I think as adults, we need to hear the word of God as little children and take it to heart. Because we will not change the word of God. It's there. It's settled in heaven. And I praise God for that this morning. The title of the message this morning is Watch and Be Ready. I'll start with Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 42. Jesus had been speaking here. He started out in chapter 24 with the disciples asking him about the destruction of Jerusalem. When is this going to be? How is it going to be? And Jesus goes down through here telling them what's going to happen. And then he comes down to verse 24. He says, watch therefore. Because of what is out in the future, because of what's going to happen, because of we are passing through time into eternity. You know, eternity is a long, it's just never ending. When we pass from time, we enter eternity. And it's forever. This isn't anything to play games with. Eternity is long. It's forever. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord will come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Be ye also ready. You know, when our Lord Jesus Christ comes back, he bursts through those clouds. Everyone that sees him is going to be either rising up to meet him or wishing they could. There will be no atheists left. They will know there is a God in heaven. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get ready. There's coming a day when it won't be time to get ready. It'll be too late. Therefore, be ye also ready. Verse 45, who then is faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all that he all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's going to be a day of a great divide. A day when God will divide the just from the unjust. We have the parables that Jesus gave. He says, let the tares grow with the wheat. But in the end, they're going to be separated. In the end, there's going to be a divide. The tares will be gathered out and thrown into the fire. But he'll gather the wheat to himself. The question that we need to face today is, am I ready to go? Am I ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus says here, watch. And this word watch is a very... how can I say it? It's a word that means sleeplessly awake. I don't know if you've ever been jolted during the night when you're sleeping. You're jolted. You wake up and sleep is the last thing you're thinking of. You're thinking about whatever it was that woke you up. You're sleeplessly awake. There's nothing that's putting you to sleep right away again. And that's what Jesus is saying we need to be careful with. We are to be sleeplessly awake. Ready for His return at any moment. I know we've all heard that Jesus is coming again. And He likely will come in our day. All those things. And the scripture even talks about it. In the last days there are going to be scoffers. Saying, we've been hearing this all life. But that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. You see, one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. Time doesn't have the effect on God that it has on us. You know, after you lived here 70 to 80 years, why, you think you've lived a pretty good long life. But that's nothing to God. This was brought to my attention back a number of years ago. Back in the time when we had the leadership meetings up at Charity, and we were going up there quite often. And it didn't matter how long the church service lasted. We were drinking in the Word and we were enjoying the Word. But then after it was over with, we'd stand around and we'd fellowship. The time didn't have much meaning to it right then. We were enjoying the spiritual blessings that were there. And I think in a little measure that was the way it will be in glory when we're with our Lord Jesus Christ, with the saints of all ages. Time will not be there, actually. But that's the effect of it. We can just go on and on and on and on. We don't get tired of it. It's a wonderful time, a wonderful place to be in the presence of our Lord Jesus. Now I want to go into chapter 25. The parable of the 10 virgins. I'll read the first 13 verses. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now I want you to consider with me the fact that these 10 virgins took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. But it says 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. I have a question for you this morning. What is it that made the 10 wise virgins wise? And what was it that made the 10 foolish, the 5 foolish virgins, what was it that made them foolish? There was something there that made a big difference, but they were all going out to meet the bridegroom. They all had their lamps. They had oil in their lamps. The lamps were burning. And I take from that that these are all Christians. They were born again Christians. But five were wise and five were foolish. Now if you do the math on that, that's 50%. That's a very low percentage for all to be born again Christians, and only half of them make it through in the end to glory. What a sad thing. And so we need today, we need to be looking at this in a serious way. Where am I? What am I doing with what God has given me? The five were wise and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Again, what was it that made the wise virgins wise, and what was it that made the foolish virgins foolish? The wise virgins were looking ahead. They realized, I don't have oil enough in my vessel to carry me all the way through. And I take this oil as a type of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus gave us an account. I think it's Luke 11. He talks about the disciples come to him and said, teach us to pray. Luke chapter 11. I'll start reading at verse 5. And he said unto them, his disciples, which of you shall find a friend, shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. So this man goes, and Jesus was giving this account, answering the question that the disciples, or the desire of the disciples, that he would teach them to pray. I cannot rise and give thee. I say to you, though he will not rise to give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. So now we need to find out what this word importunity means. Because Jesus said it's because of his importunity that he rose and gave him something. Gave him what he needed. And he says, this is the way you're to be praying. This is the way you come to the Father. When you have a real need, you come in a way that you will not be turned away. It means harassment. This word importunity means harassment. Now we don't think about coming to God in this way. And in one sense, we think it would be irreverent to come to God in this way. Because who am I that I should come to God harassing God? I have this need. Give me what I need. But this is the word that Jesus used to describe the way we are to come to God. And I believe what he was trying to get through to them is, and to us, that when we see a need in our life, that we come to God and we won't take no for an answer, that we just cry out to him and we continue to cry out to him until he does give us the answer. That's the way God wants us to come to him. He doesn't want us to walk around being, as it were, starving children of his. He wants us to grow and he wants us to blossom in his kingdom. Another definition is bugging. In other words, we go to God bugging him for what we're in need of. And I think one of the reasons we don't do this so often is because we don't see our need. We don't see our need as it really is. And God wants us to understand how needy we are so that we'll come to him and we'll stay there before him, crying out to him until he gives us the thing that we know we're so needy in. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Now I want you to sit up and pay attention on this next verse. Verse 13. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You see, Jesus wasn't talking about asking for a new vehicle or asking for just any old thing that we might ask for. Jesus was telling us when we come to God with a need in our life, and we understand that unless we get what we're asking for, we're not going to make it. And we come to him and say, God, you know who I am. You know how weak I am. And you know how utterly impossible it'll be for me to get to glory with you unless you bless my life with your presence. You see, God wants to bless each of his children with the presence of his Holy Spirit. How many times have we gone through a day or through a week or through a month and never thought about our need for the infilling of his Holy Spirit in a new way? We go from day to day, and so many times we don't even think about asking God, Lord, anoint my life with your Holy Spirit. If you don't give me that anointing, I don't have anything to share with anyone else. Jesus says, come to, when ye pray, be like this man who needed bread to share with a friend. You see, God tells us that we are to be witnesses. We are to be sharing the good news. How can we share the good news without the anointing of the Spirit of God? We don't really have anything to share. We can share words. We can talk. But if it's not coming from deep within, from the Holy Spirit of God, what we have to say really isn't worth talking about. We desperately need the anointing of the Spirit of God. Going back to Matthew 25. Looking at the 10 virgins, I believe that the difference between the 5 wise and the 5 foolish, the difference was that the 5 wise knew, I don't have enough oil today to carry me through. I must have fresh oil. They took their lamps and they had their lights burning, but they took a vessel with more oil. And oh, brothers and sisters, if we could just understand, if it could grip our heart, our need for the fresh anointing of the Spirit of God every day. I think it would make a difference in the kingdom of God. I think it would make a difference in our how effective our life is in the kingdom of God. If that would really grip our heart, how desperately needy we are. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Here they were all evening long. You might say enjoying fellowship, being together. And we would hope they were challenging each other to go on with the Lord. But there they were together. And they were waiting for the bridegroom. Isn't that what we're waiting for today? Waiting for the bridegroom. Have you sought the Lord for the anointing of the Spirit of God upon your life, so that when He comes, we'll be ready to open the door to Him? I believe this is the basic difference between the wise and the foolish. The foolish didn't see their need. And because they didn't see that need, they weren't asking for that anointing of the Spirit of God. You know, we live in a land where we don't have a lot of physical needs. There's a lot of stuff that we think we need that we really don't need. But we live in a land where we can get pretty well what we want. And I think that has a detrimental effect on our spiritual life. Because when we are desperately in need, physically, somehow it translates, I need God. I need God to be with me. I need God to, in every part of my life. And we don't feel so self-sufficient. At midnight, the cry came, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." What a sad situation. But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. The door was shut. Those who were wise, those who sought the Lord, those who sought the anointing of His Holy Spirit, they were ready. When the bridegroom came, they were ready to go with him into the marriage. May each one of us consider where we are today. Where am I? Where are you? Are you ready when the bridegroom comes to say, "Yes, Lord, even so come"? I'm looking forward to being with you, Lord. But we know that we can't be at that place without the anointing of the Spirit of God on our lives. while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They were, let's go to verse 11. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. I know you not. And then Jesus uses this word watch again. He said, because of this, because we are all waiting for the bridegroom, because we all have the possibility of being unwise, not seeing our need, not understanding how desperately we need the Holy Spirit of God to fill our lives. He says, watch. Be sleeplessly awake. Understand what your needs are. Understand that you are a very needy individual. Every one of us. Can't any of us say that we have it all together? That we are here, you are there. No. We're all very needy people. We desperately need the Lord in our lives. Let's seek the Lord with all our heart. What terrible words these foolish people had to hear. I know you not. One thing I failed to mention up here in the beginning of this parable was the fact that none of these people were being disobedient to the commands of God. None of these virgins were being disobedient to the commands of God. You say, well, if you're not disobedient, well, then they ought to be ready to meet the Lord. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. For a number of years, this particular passage of Scripture has been such a blessing to me. Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul was writing this letter to the Philippian believers. And he comes down to verse 9 and he said, this I pray. In other words, this is my prayer for you as a church body. This is my prayer that your love may abound yet more and more. That your love would be without bounds. Your love for the Lord Jesus Christ, there'd be no boundaries there. But that your love would just be continually growing, being without bounds. And he says, in knowledge and in all judgment or discernment. As you grow in your knowledge of the Lord, grow in discernment, how to make wise decisions. You see, the Apostle Paul didn't lay out the terms that as long as it's not sin, it's okay. Go ahead. He says here, verse 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent. In other words, I want your love for the Lord Jesus Christ to grow. I want your love for the Lord Jesus Christ to be without bounds. That you would seek after Him with your whole heart. That your life would become more and more into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? So that you would approve things that are excellent. You don't just go out there, well, if it's not sin, then you can't say it's wrong. There's a lot of things that are not necessarily sin in themselves, but where will it take you? And that's where we need the anointing of the Spirit of God to give us discernment, give us that desire of God in our heart to go the way that pleases the Lord. You know, if we're trying to find ways that we can somehow gratify the flesh and still be a Christian, I'm not saying you can't ever do that without losing out, but it's a very dangerous place to be. I remember some years ago, we took a trip to Mexico. I've got two sisters in Mexico. We were up on one of those high mountains, and they had a little pullover there. We stopped, and we looked out. Down at the bottom, way down yonder, there was a ravine that went off straight. And I told the family, I want to go down there and just look, see how far down it is. And I suppose from up on top, it looked a lot more scary than it did to me, because I went up there to the edge and looked down, and they said, stay back. And it was way down. I don't know how far down it was, but it was way down. There was a little stream at the bottom of that ravine. Now, as long as I stayed there, it didn't matter how close I got. As long as I didn't fall over, I was fine. But where is the wisdom in walking right alongside that terrific drop-off? Where is the wisdom of that? I think we all know the answer to that question. To walk along the edge of that ravine is a dangerous place to be. It's not a wise thing to do. And yet so many times, we as the people of God will walk along the edge of the ravine and think, well, as long as I don't fall in, I'm okay. That's not what the Apostle Paul was talking about here. He was saying, stay back. Stay back. Don't get at the edge. Approve things that are excellent. Make decisions that are wise decisions. That ye may be sincere. And this word sincere means genuine. Make wise decisions that your life would be genuinely seeking after God. That you would be walking with the Lord. That we would allow Him full control of our life. Without offense. That word offense means without leading others or ourselves into sin. Without going into sin and without leading others out there. You see, we can do things that are not sinful in themselves, but we desperately need to be considering where this is going to go. Someone just recently told me that they were talking to a man that used to be a counselor in our circles, in the Anabaptist circles. I think he's retired now, but he said one of the things that he has noticed, there's two things that the men in the Anabaptist circles are getting caught up in. One is pornography, and the other is needing to have some alcohol just before they go to bed so they can go to sleep. Several years ago, there was an individual that came to our place, and he got to talking about drinking beer. He said, the Bible doesn't say you can't drink beer. I let him talk for a little bit, and he wouldn't be quiet about it. And I finally said, no, the Bible doesn't say anything. It doesn't say that you can't drink beer. But it does admonish us to be wise. Where is the wisdom in this thing of social drinking? I don't know where you are, but this thing has come into the church in a very, I don't know why it came into the church, but apparently we are not seeing the need for the wisdom of God, for the anointing of the Spirit of God to give us direction. Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. See, this is where the Apostle Paul was taking the Philippian church. I want you to seek after God with all your heart. I want your love for the Lord Jesus Christ to grow and abound, so that you would make decisions that will help you to go forward with Christ in the future, that you will not be turning back and go back to the world, but that you'll seek the Lord continually, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Are we making those kind of decisions today that will help us onward? Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We don't know when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, but we know He's coming. And regardless of whether we're here or whether we've gone on, He comes for us individually. There's a day coming when I'll be laying in the coffin, unless the Lord comes before I get there. But we're all going to be laying in that coffin, as it were, one day. When the Lord calls my name, and when He calls your name, are we going to be watching? Are we going to be ready to say, yes, Lord? Or are we going to be like the foolish virgins? Now go over to chapter 26, Matthew 26. Starting in verse 38. This is Jesus in the garden. He saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Is that where our heart is today? Are we truly seeking the will of God for my life? Am I seeking the will of God for my life, regardless of the cost? He cometh to his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray. Listen to this verse. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. Be sleeplessly awake. It's what Jesus was telling Peter. Don't let sleep overtake you. Watch and pray. Keep your eyes focused. The devil is after you, and he's after every one of us. The devil has a desire to destroy all the people of God. He won't make that desire. He won't get it. But in this account that we have of the 10 virgins, there were 50%. Half of them missed it. That's way too many turning back. Half of those individuals that started out never made it. Am I living my life in such a way that I can expect to make it through to glory? Or am I living in such a careless way? Well, I hope when the Lord comes, I'll be ready. We can look forward. We can look forward with faith and know that we can make it through. Turn over to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, verse 32. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. In other words, the day of his return. Take ye heed. Take ye heed. And if there's ever a day that we need to take heed, it's today. There's so much going on in the world today. I believe the hour is drawing very near. Take ye heed, watch, be sleeplessly awake. Don't let anything turn you aside from seeking the face of God, seeking the anointing of His Holy Spirit. Watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. What I say unto you, I say to everybody, Jesus is saying here, be sleeplessly awake. Hadn't been long ago, and I don't know, did I get a hold of some caffeine? I'm not sure what happened. I went to bed, and it was 2:00 in the morning the last time I looked at the clock. I went to sleep finally. But I was sleeplessly awake. I was resting. It wasn't like I was hurting. But I was just sleeplessly awake. And I believe in a spiritual sense, that's what Jesus is asking us. You make sure that you're sleeplessly awake, that you are understanding what's going on around you, that you are not being swept in with a whole bunch of stuff and lose your walk with the Lord. Be sleeplessly awake. What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. God bless you.